strong toxic brother looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from CO to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for July 9th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today is Liana. How are you doing, Liana?
I'm doing well. I am so happy to also be part of the Slaughterhouse Alliance. You know, Frenchie's Funhouse is firing on all cylinders, and it's been such a joy to watch feeds these past few days. Mess. Utter mess.
Mess, I think, is an understatement.
Yes.
We are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 23 live feeds. Let's see. Obviously, Wednesday was night one. Thursday was day two. We are going to be talking about Friday, day three in the Big Brother 23 house. And people are already talking about, I've always had your back since day one. I thought this, guys, you got 95 more of these. Let's be chill.
I've never told a lie. You know that. You know that I would never go back on my word.
Yeah.
Okay. Talk to me in at least a week.
So what we had yesterday was some nominations. We had some plans changing, reforming, changing again, alliances coming together, and plenty of things in between. So let's talk about it. Obviously, yesterday I talked to you guys about how the plan shifted from targeting Brent to targeting Christian to targeting Derek X to targeting Alyssa, all within one day. And I want to remind people that, let's say about, anywhere from like, Thursday morning, Brent was the target. And then like, about 5 hours ago. So like late into Friday night, Brent and Frenchie now have a final two. So, short turnaround on that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They're best friends. Pinky promises all around, going to the end together. This is, I think, just the perfect reason why we always need live feeds week one, why we've been advocating it, why it's worth it to deal with those competitions in the premiere so that we can have the joy that this is. I mean, it's just been such a pleasure to watch.
Yeah. So we ended the previous update with Frenchie seemingly going to potentially go after Alyssa, maybe put Sarah Beth on the block. We weren't sure. We started the morning yesterday on Friday with Frenchie talking to Derek X and saying, look, you lied to my face. You did not realize how observant I am. Like, even the things I don't see, I see. I know all of it, but if I keep you safe this week, I'm going to need that reciprocated. I'm going to need you. I never lie to me again, never do this again. And I'm going to need you to keep me safe in the coming weeks. And Derek's like, yeah, sure.
Yes. Benevolent Frenchie willing to extend the olive branch, forgive, but not forget. And Derek X just seems very nonplussed about the whole situation. Just like, yeah, okay. Yeah, I'll do that. And, you know, Travis is in there also trying to like pick up a couple pieces of what's going on. But a very quick turnaround from being betrayed and lied to. Ugh, mess.
Mm. So it seems as though Derek X may be off the hook here for now. Although at this point, it's like, well, first of all, is Frenchie going to change his mind again? Second, he could just straight up be lying to Derek X. We know that he wants to really blindside someone. But he is telling Derek X he does not want to target him at the moment. He's also going to talk with Whitney and Brittany about how anti-meathead he is. This is going to be a sort of theme of the day. I hate meatheads, but I hate meatheads, but I've always hated meatheads. I came into this house. I said I wasn't going to work with the meatheads. Those meatheads are the worst. They get all the prettiest women. They dominated that the job that I was working. They made me feel small. I used to play football, and I didn't want to be the quarterback anymore because I wanted to hit them. I wanted to boom. My uprights, I don't know what he called it, his ups, his jumps, his whatever they are in football. Oh, they were ridiculous. You don't even know. They thought I was small, but then boom.
I mean, and they made fun of his small arms. It just, I mean, the constant judgment from the meat bros. Cue five times him saying, but like Whitney, I think by the end of the day, Whitney's like, yes, I've heard you say that you promised that you would never work with the meat bros. They judged you. You would never work with them. Cue him, spoiler alert, at the end, making a male alliance. So very good. Very good.
Yes. It's almost as though the only reason he was anti-meathead is because he wasn't accepted. And the second they need something from him and say, hey, we accept you, he's like, oh,
Me? Am I the prettiest girl at the dance? Are you choosing me? I mean, that's why when Brent spent, 30 seconds having a conversation with him, he immediately turned around and then became his best friend. So I definitely feel like he was pushed and isolated by people like them. So immediately goes in thinking, oh, I don't want anything to do with them. But then, oh, they're willing to be friends with me. Oh, okay, now we're best friends. Immediately flips the script, which is, I think, one of the reasons why we see the target shift so many times throughout the course of the day, because he goes in having a set game plan, but then gets this affection or appreciation from others, and it immediately changes.
Mm-hmm. And I think it further puts into perspective the whole, women thing where, It seems more like I want to work with women. I don't want to put women on the block was more an imagined necessity than an ideological goal.
Yes, I think that makes sense. There's the conversation about his wokeness being very performative, and was it even wokeness? Or like you said, was it just, I'm going to have to go into this game and the meatheads aren't going to accept me, so I know I need to work with the women. So I'm going to say from the get go that I'm protecting all the women. Right. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It definitely makes it a little bit muddier.
Yeah. Derek F, Xavier and Azza are going to chat a bit. They're of course a part of the Cookout Alliance, which is the only stable, yes, group so far. They're talking about how Frenchie is becoming a liability, that Azza says he's playing for Twitter. He's playing for the audience. This guy, we can't rely on him.
I knew I loved the Cookout. And then when Azza said that, I was like, yes, that is correct. And then they talk about taking shifts with him. We need to make sure that we, keep him not doing anything too wild. Meanwhile, Frenchie is off doing all of the wildest things. But to me, the Cookout is someone who, like, a group that I'm super excited about. And it does, like you said, it seems the most stable. So that's Kyland, Tiffany, Azza, Derek F, and Xavier, who they've been calling X, which is very confusing with Derek. Yes. X. But X is just Xavier,
yeah,
not Derek X. So those are two separate people. So like bucket hat wearing Xavier is X in the Cookout.
Yes. I see people get confused about this online as well. X is Xavier. Derek X is Derek X. Derek F is Derek F. They do sometimes call them Big D and Little D. Mm-hmm. But they are not consistent at all. And sometimes they do kind of mean Derek X when they're talking about X, but, and even they sometimes get confused, like X. Oh, you mean, wait, which, you mean Derek, mm-hmm, or do you mean Xavier, or do you mean Derek F? Which one? Yeah. So, hey, that would be a good, that would, positive plus side to Derek X leaving this week. All of it gets solved. No more name confusion.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true. Because I not, cue me watching feeds thinking, huh, how did Derek X end up from being the target to being in all of these alliances? That is very confusing. No, Xavier is who we're talking about.
Yeah. Frenchie is going to come out of the diary room, feeling in his emotions here. He's going to sort of rant to Xavier and Brent about how he has been lied to and betrayed, and how dare they, for somebody to say from day one that they were with me and they had my back, and then they lie to you, and just the way that it happens, and the way that she, I mean, he, I mean, whoever would do this to me. It's just ridiculous. And I'm like, who is he talking about? I know he wants to target Alyssa, but why would he think Alyssa has lied to and betrayed him? Like, that's absurd. Maybe could he be talking about like Tiffany? Like, that would be absurd as well. Well, I mean, obviously, Tiffany has actually been doing some of that, but I didn't know he knew about it. Where is this coming from? Who is he talking? Is he talking about Kyland? But he kind of said she, so I'm thinking he's talking about a woman. In hindsight, now I know he was talking about Alyssa.
Yeah. Okay. So that was also very confusing. Frenchie also has a tendency to just kind of do this pattern in general, where he'll be talking about somebody, but he refuses to specify who that person is. And then very much goes out of his way to use different pronouns to even make sure that that's even more confusing. And so it's very difficult to follow, or just pure, nicknames, which we'll talk about later. So it's definitely very confusing. The other thing about this conversation that I just laughed so hard at was, and this is the whole Brent relationship thing, because Frenchie, and I quote, talking to Brent, "You've been the only one that's been true to your word. I see it crystal clear." Like, I'm sorry. What? How did this happen? But that's where we are now. Him and Brent, BFFs.
Yes. Travis ends up coming in, and they're like, okay, we need to clear the air here between Travis and Brent. So they all go up, Travis, Xavier, Brent, and Frenchie, up into the have-not room, and they have a bro meeting. Mm-hmm. It's basically to try and clear the air between Travis and Brent, because Travis had said Brent's name, and Brent, you know, has felt weird about Travis, and Travis tries to kind of explain, like maybe I said your name, but only in the sense of like, well, okay, if men are going to go up on the block, then there's only a certain amount of options. It's me, Derek, and you, essentially. So I would rather it be you than myself or Derek at that point. Not that I had anything against you, and not that I was even pushing for you to go up. In fact, I had also mentioned some women that should go up as well, but it seemed like maybe only men were an option at that point. And Brent is kind of like, okay. Like Brent is very much like, again, he wants people to, you know, be stoned in the Middle Ages or whatever. Mm-hmm. So like he is, you wrong him, he's gonna really ride on you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much. Very much that. I think also he has a tendency to, he very much wears his emotions on his sleeve. He does try to hide it, but it's so thinly veiled that it's pretty easy to see right through it. And I mean, Travis talks about it a little bit later when he's talking with Derek X about like, look, Brent is a lost cause, you know, like we can't really repair that relationship there, but Frenchie seems to buy it somewhat. I mean, he is talking, you know, just running his mouth about everything once they kind of quote unquote settle everything that happened, and then continues to kind of go on this rant about the person that lied to him and had wronged him. And I don't. Question mark?
Yeah, and Frenchie's going to explain the whole meathead thing to them in the small arms, and how he prejudged Brent, and then now he loves Brent because mm-hmm. he didn't understand who he was before, and he's going to like pump up this group, like, this is the group. It's us four. We each are in a different team. This is going to be great. We can vouch for each other for each team. We can make this happen. They talk about like who the target should be. Mm-hmm. And they talk about Derek X and how he was so shady, but he understands that he's done wrong, and he wants to make up for what he did. Brent says, yeah, the only reason I'm giving Derek any kind of chance is because he's on my team. If he wasn't on my team, I wouldn't be giving him any kind of chance right now. And this is interesting to me because, so, just to kind of set you on the Brent Derek X relationship. They're on the same team. Right away, night one, Derek X was saying, I like Brent. I like Brent a lot. I want to work with Brent. There were some other people that were like, not sure. Travis was kind of like, I feel like Brent and Christian are like kind of a thing. So I'm not sure that we can bring him in. Day two, Derek X was still saying, I like Brent. I still like Brent. But after, Derek X realized that he might be in trouble and that Brent had been talked about as a target, he was like, well, I guess we need to get, worst case scenario, we need to push Brent to Frenchie. And then when Frenchie confronts, Derek about, being in an alliance with Travis and Kyland, Derek X preemptively kind of confesses all of his sins, which include having talked about the potential of maybe throwing Brent's name out there at one point, as well as talking about, well, if Frenchie does this, then we might have to go after Frenchie next week. And these are conversations that are completely innocent. And we'll get more into what Derek X has or has not done once that becomes a little more relevant. But basically, Derek X has done almost nothing to Brent, and always liked Brent and wanted to work with Brent. And Brent liked Derek X and feels betrayed by Derek X. Brent has this very sort of like black and white view on, lying and honesty and integrity. And, the fact he has sort of like, I think, an inner code that's like, hey, you screw me, you're done forever. He said that. But he likes Derek X and doesn't really want to be done with him, and he's on his team. And so I think he's kind of like trying to come up with reasons for why he is sort of like skirting around the code here. Well, normally he would be done forever, but he's on my team, so I have to give him a second chance.
Ah, yes, the medieval code. Well, because he's part of the Knights of the Round Table, I can't cast him aside just yet. Which is so funny, because to Derek X's face, he says, "You like genuinely, if you were not on my team, you would be dead to me. Dead to me. Not just, I don't think we could work together. Dead to me." Okay, this is the whole medieval-ness of it all coming back out. And if you're at home, listeners, thinking, this doesn't quite make sense. Why would someone be targeted for this? Don't worry, nothing makes sense. It's okay, but we're rolling with it anyway.
Mm-hmm. So Frenchie says he does not want to target Derek. He wants to give him another chance, and so that's what he's going to do. The person he really wants to go after this week is safe. So what he's going to do is go after his closest person to send a message and make him nervous. And this is what you're talking about. Like, Frenchie just never names names. Mm-hmm. But everyone knows who he's talking about in this particular instance. So Brent says, yeah, Christian told me that Alyssa was it was like his type. So in a kind of back off kind of way, which was like he was claiming dibs, which I didn't like. And I guess that was the start of the Brent Christian animosity, right? And the idea that Christian saw Alyssa and was like, oh, she's hot, I like her, and said something about it, has now forever attached Alyssa to Christian, in an absurd way. Luckily we have some voices of reason here. And Xavier chimes in and says, and by the way, Xavier is here in this conversation. He's been quiet up to this point. Xavier's like, well, I mean, I feel like any kind of relationship that you might see between Alyssa and Christian is kind of one-sided. I don't think it would be very fair to target her because of that. And Frenchie's like, really? If I wasn't going to target her, if she's not with Christian, then I guess we'd need to find another target. And Travis decides that this is a good time to chime in and say, well, look, if we're working together, we're being honest, then what if I threw out a name like, how do you guys feel about Tiffany? And like at the same time, all three of the other guys are like, nope, we love Tiffany. She's great. And he's like, yeah, cool. Yeah, definitely. That's what I was thinking. And then Brent says, well, what about Claire? I haven't really gotten much from her. And they all kind of agree that like, yeah, we don't really know much about her. We don't really feel one way or another about her. Brent is going to continue to suggest Claire as a potential target throughout the day. Mm-hmm. That's something that Claire should be careful of. Luckily for her, Brent has other focuses at the moment. Then Frenchie, they also talk about Brittany, and Brittany says, no, Brittany's great. She's coming up to me every night talking about the hit list. She's giving me the rundown on everything. And so don't worry about Brittany. And so Frenchie says, they kind of conclude this conversation first. Xavier, you should talk to Alyssa. See, like, what she's, if she's willing to back away from Christian, if she's tight with Christian, and then if she's willing to do that, if she's down for that, then we can reconvene and discuss other options. At this point in time, it seems like the other option that is most viable would be somebody like Claire. But that's not really going to matter.
Mm-hmm. The whole Alyssa thing where she's being targeted because of her supposed connection to Christian is I just feel horrible for her. It also definitely gives me a little bit of shades of Amber Beast Boy Cowboy, you know, that like you get someone targeted just because they're associated with another person. But I mean, Christian and Alyssa even say they are literally on the same team. And as far as I know, like, I don't really see them hang out all that much. So, you know, this really just came from such a thin thread of trying to link these two together. But I feel it felt like Frenchie was just kind of grabbing at whatever he could, but then an unwillingness to recognize any other target. Because I mean, Claire has no real connection to Frenchie that I know. So, and she's a strong competitor. She is one of the other captains. She did well in the HOH competition. So if you're thinking about things logically, like, she would be a great target, but that doesn't really even seem to cross his mind.
Mm-hmm. It's very frustrating that Alyssa is in this position, because the thing is, it's not even so much that like a dude had a crush on her and thus she was it's that, like, I guess that like a guy might have at one point said like, yeah, she's my type. And then that spiraled into, in Frenchie's mind, they're basically in a showman's.
He's the showman's killer. So
yeah, you know. I need to, and I can't strike a Christian. So I've got to send a message to him by targeting his woman. Hold on. You're the same person that said I would never nominate a woman in week one. Are you sure you're that same?
Yeah.
Person?
This is like the thread slowly starting to fall apart of like, wait, what? Like, we're going to Alyssa, but then the reason seems so antiquated and like, frankly, very misogynistic of, wait, okay, so this is the reason why you're targeting. I'm sorry. What?
And he continues to call her as Annalise 2.0, which I saw those comparisons in the preseason, and I didn't agree with them personally. Uh-huh. I thought that people were jumping the gun a bit, but to be doing it in the house and then consistent, like, she is nothing like Annalise. Nothing. And it's so disrespectful to do that. We'll get there. So the reason why this conversation doesn't end up mattering, I think Alyssa could have been saved from this nomination had there been any more time to make it happen. But unfortunately for her, the nomination ceremony takes place almost directly after this. And there's no time to change things. And there's so much luck involved in so many aspects of Big Brother. The target shifted, I think, genuinely about 6 or 7 times over the last like 36 hours. And she just happened to be the person that the roulette wheel was landed on in that particular moment. Mm-hmm. So when the feeds come back, we have our nominations, and they are, of course, Alyssa and Kylan.
Question mark? So this is what made me question whether or not that conversation with the bro dudes in the have not room was about Kylan, or that he was talking about being betrayed by Kylan. But I don't think that makes sense, especially then given, so after the nominations happen, then Frenchie has a conversation with Kylan and conversations with Alyssa, and we'll talk about all of those. But he straight up says to Kylan that Kylan is a pawn. So based on that, Alyssa does seem to be at nominations, Alyssa is the target and Kylan is the pawn. At that time, that was his logic.
Yes.
From what I understood.
Yes. And I believe the reason he chose Kylan as his pawn is that he still feels betrayed by Kylan for the whole Travis and Derek X thing. There's a reason he's not using Travis or Derek X as a pawn at this point. He felt most betrayed by Kylan. I still feel like Kylan did that to himself by throwing Derek X under the bus in the first place. But here Kylan is on the block next to Alyssa. They were both blindsided. Mm-hmm. And when the feeds come back, Kylan is talking to Frenchie, and Frenchie is saying that look, the reason I wanted you on the block is that my gut is telling me that there is a reward in this veto challenge, and I want you to have a chance at that reward.
Yes, I completely forgot about that. The whole reason why he wanted him to go up, Lawan powers that you're going to get if you win the veto competition, because he keeps seeing big no risk reward all over the house. So Frenchie obviously equates that to me, and that there must be some power. But of course, I mean, I'm sure he's just lying here. Although, to be honest, I can't. Most of the time, I can get a decent read about whether someone's lying or not to someone else based on the logic of their previous actions. The problem is there's no real logic to Frenchie's previous actions. So sometimes it's very difficult to know whether or not he's lying in a situation, or he's telling the truth, or he's deluding himself into thinking that it's the truth. But at least the justification here at the moment is this whole power thing.
Yeah, I think something to maybe keep in mind when like seeing Frenchie do anything is that he will do his best to conform his own reality around whatever makes him the most comfortable in the moment. Mm. So like if somebody is confronting him about doing something and he feels like he doesn't have a good enough like rock solid foundation as to why, then he will just conform reality to whatever fits best, and he will try a bunch of different things until one sticks. So he's trying it. His first excuse is, I'm doing it because of the reward thing. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't really land. And I think that that was something that he imagined in that moment to try and come up with something anyway. So then he continues to shift around. Well, you're just the pawn. He says that nobody else knew what the nominations would be. Kylan is suspicious of that. That becomes a whole thing, but it's not too relevant. He says Alyssa is the target because she's on the other side of the house. And he's like, what other side of the house? He says, Kylan, and I like what Kylan does here to some degree, at least. He says, look, if you're telling me that I'm the pawn, then tell me the whole plan. Mm-hmm. Like, if you want me to feel comfortable right now, give me everything. If Alyssa's the target, what happens if Alyssa comes down? What happens if I come down? What happens, who is she with? Who are you with? Where are the numbers? Like, tell me it all. If you don't tell me those things, I'm not going to feel comfortable. Frenchie, who, definitely backs down from confrontation, as I said, in a way where he conforms his own reality to shape whatever can fit the escape of that confrontation, is willing to give him whatever he wants at this point, even though he has to really drag it out of him. So he says, if Alyssa comes down, there's a big fish. It's a big fish that I'm going to. And that was part of his speech. Part of his speech is that he had a dream about going fishing. He's got a big fish.
Yeah.
That he wants to go after. And Kylan's like, well, who is the big fish? And he's like, it's a big fish. And he's like, dude, tell me who the big fish is. Is it Christian? He's like, no, that's the real big fish. I'm talking about a different big fish. And he's like, who is this big fish? And he eventually finally implies that Travis is the big fish and that he wants to backdoor Travis as the big fish. And that's because he thinks that Travis is secretly working with Christian, despite the fact that they both keep saying they don't really get along. He thinks that that's a smokescreen. He's not going to be played by them. He sees all, and he knows that Travis is actually secretly working with Christian. And so he's going to maybe backdoor Travis if Alyssa wins the veto, because only and only if Alyssa wins the veto, because Alyssa is still the primary target, the little fish, but the big fish is the secondary target. That's Travis. Later in the day, he's going to say, I couldn't possibly backdoor Travis because I made a promise to him. So this was, I think, either nonsense or just part of, again, him warping reality around himself. But Travis is the big fish, and Alyssa is the bigger target right now because she lied to him about being in alliance. She sat right there and she told him that she was never approached by an alliance, and he knows that's fake because Christian has an entire side of the house in an alliance and she's his second hand person.
Yes. Okay, so to put in context the fish part of all of this. So we could hear some recounts later about the speech. So Frenchie gave a speech in which, by the way, he started, I think it was Derek F. who pointed this out. He started his speech by saying, I have a dream, or I had a dream, or something like that, which given his wokeness, like, it just really made me laugh. But anyway, so he started with, I have a dream that he was fishing, right? Or he went fishing or something along those lines. And so then this is where the whole big fish narrative comes from, of like, we're going to catch this big fish, but first I had to put out the bait for the big fish. So in my brain, of course, then that means that Christian is the big fish, Alyssa is the bait for Christian. But then, of course, because Christian is the real big fish, because he's safe, then this is where Travis comes into conversation. So to me, that's like the whole framework of everything, although that falls apart a little bit later. But that's where the fish stuff comes from.
Yeah. Frenchie is the kind of player that, like, normally I wouldn't be explaining the intricacies of all of his sort of mistaken beliefs about the house. But he is in power, and not only is he in power, but he's the HOH in the first week. And so he has a lot of influence over the direction of the game. And so I just want to reiterate that we're trying to describe Frenchie's view of the house. There is no Christian side. There is no Christian alliance. Christian and Alyssa are not together. Travis and Christian are not together. Christian has very few people on his side. In fact, the people that he has on his side the most are probably people like Derek F. And maybe even somebody like Tiffany, who Frenchie thinks, I think he's forgotten about Tiffany, to be honest. But when we're trying to describe where Frenchie is coming from, do not get sucked into his gravity of imagined reality.
Yes, exactly. He's just sort of like whirling around in his own little universe. Unfortunately, his universe has a big impact on the real universe, which is the state of the house, which is why I loved your theory yesterday, Taryn, of talking about how a chaotic first week can set up a mess of a season. And that's because when you first have people together, they set up a set social dynamic. And when that is in complete flux and chaos, then nothing solid gets built. And essentially the framework of the house is on sandstone and has a tendency to just slip and slide all over the place as it moves throughout the season. So this is like kind of the whole mess that we're dealing with. And that's why sometimes it feels like there's not clarity, because frankly, there's not.
So Kyland again is going to go on about like, oh, what was the conversation upstairs earlier about with the guys? Frenchie says it was just to clear the air between Travis and Brent. And Kyland's going to be like very specific, like, okay, you stay here. Like, I'm going to go talk to them before you have a chance to talk to them. And it gets very awkward and weird. And he's going to go do that. But Alyssa's going to come in. Oh, and before that ends as well, Kyland wants to know, like, who's been the one telling you about all of this stuff? And Frenchie says, Derek F. has told me about some of this stuff. So Frenchie is going to go, or Alyssa's going to come and talk to Frenchie. She's like, So what the hell?
Understandably so.
And he says, look, you sat there last night and told me to my face that you didn't know anything about any alliances. And she says, yeah, because I don't. And he says, I know. I already know that you're in one. It's like, what do you mean? It's like, I know you're super tight with Christian. She's like, who? He's my teammate. He's like, Sarah Beth? It's like, yeah, she's also my teammate. Like, who else? Xavier? He's also my teammate. He's like, no, not Xavier.
No.
And she's just like, well, look, I know what you're doing. You lied to my face. And she's like, I genuinely don't know what you're talking about. They are my teammates. That doesn't mean I'm in an alliance with them. Like, they are my team. And he, of course, doesn't really know what to say to this and starts to transition off to like, well, look, my speech about the big fish was that you are the bait, essentially, for the bigger fish. And she says, oh, for Christian? He says, no. It's like, what are you talking about? He's like, look, here's the thing. And then he's like, okay, now I remember. Now I know what I can say. I've been told by like four people that you and Christian are coming for me. She's like, what? Four different people? Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. Who are these people? He's like, just people. And so that's just the way. She's like, what? Should we go get Christian? Like, what is happening here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like, this is where major props to Alyssa for being willing to just continue to poke and to prod and to not just accept Frenchie's nonsense. To be like, okay, four people. Well, who are the four people? Who told you that? Who said that Christian and I were coming after you? Christian and I are not coming after you. We're just part of a team. A team does not make an alliance. These were things that were said in the first night. And continuing to kind of push him on his BS, which I think is ultimately why things start to flip around a little bit. I think also the inclusion, like you said, of Christian. So they go and pull Christian up into the conversation. And then you sort of have the two of them being able to, Alyssa and Christian, be on the same page and consistently tell the same story to Frenchie, which seems to eventually win him over.
Yes. Yeah, so she goes and gets Christian. Frenchie starts with, look, Christian, I know you are coming for me. And look, clearly you felt unsafe with me, which is why you played in the wild card competition. And Christian's like, whoa, yeah. That's not how it works, dude. That, yeah, I didn't volunteer to play. I was voted in by my team. Mm-hmm. And Frenchie's like, well, that's not what I was told. And he's like, that's not even how it works. And Alyssa's like, yes, hold on. Because Frenchie just keeps trying to push forward. She's mm-hmm. like, no, let's stop down here for a second, because how this went is that we vote for somebody to play in the wild card competition. And we decided that we wanted to put Christian in because we felt bad that we lost the HOH competition for him. And that wasn't fair to him. And so that he should have a chance to play. He didn't even want to play. We voted him in against his will. And Christian's like, exactly, because I didn't want you to think that I didn't trust you. Mm-hmm. And Frenchie's like, well, you know, birds were chirping in my ear about you. You were real quick to jump up and play in that competition. And people are telling me that you and Travis are working together. And I do think that, there was one thing that happened after the, have not room conversation with the bros, Travis, Brent, Xavier, and Frenchie, which is that, Christian had been feeling a little bit like, what are they doing up there? Xavier had to kind of talk him down. And then Christian walked into the bathroom. Travis was in there and they had a brief kind of just like, so what's going on? And then Frenchie walked in and they stopped talking. And so Frenchie was like, I saw you talking in the bathroom earlier. You quit talking after, like, I know that you're working together. And so I think that's where the Travis thing came from, why Travis all of a sudden became the big fish. Mm-hmm. So he's trying to explain that. And Christian is just like, what are you talking about?
And Christian is telling the truth here. I mean, Christian even says something to the effect of like, we get lumped together because we look similar. Like, people judge us and put us together in the same boat because we look similar. Because even that conversation in the bathroom that you were talking about earlier, I believe they were even talking about, like, why are we being lumped together? Like, it was very much consistent with everything that Christian's been saying of, we are not working together. We are not a team. We are not, you know, putting up this smoke screen to pretend like we're not working together. Like, it's just simply not happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Christian comes out and says, especially once they start getting around to, like, you and Alyssa are a thing. He's like, can I just say, like, you are completely judging us based on how we look. Like, because Travis and I look alike, you're acting like we're together. Because I guess Alyssa and I look like we'd be good together. Like, you're acting like we are together. And the way that he said that was a little weird, but, like, it is exactly what's happening. Yeah. Just to a degree, it's exactly what's happening when it comes to Frenchie. And it's pretty ridiculous. He asked Tristan, well, have you come to anyone on my team and tried to make an alliance with them? And he's like, who, like Derek? Like Derek F? I like Derek a lot. Like, I want to work with Derek. And he's like, nope, not him. He's like, who, Azza? I don't know. Okay, well then Brittany. He's like, no, I've like barely spoken to Brittany. I don't know what you're talking about. And Frenchie's like, well, okay, well, I guess I need to talk to Derek F and get exactly the names that, correct. And he just keeps throwing out Brittany and Derek F as like sources of information, that he mostly came up with on his own. Mm-hmm. He says, look, I know that Kylan, Derek X, and Travis have an alliance. And Kristen's like, exactly. You know that. It's been confirmed. So what are you doing going off of assumptions? What are you doing? Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, like, you had confirmation about Derek. I thought Derek and Travis were going up on the block. Like, why is that not happening?
Yeah, it was this. So there's this thing that you know to be true, that you have a confession about, where someone lied to you, and yet you're choosing again to follow down a path of something that you're just making a million assumptions about. And that's the reason why. And this is why I think Christian and Alyssa, kind of with that 1-2 punch of calling Frenchie out on his logic and his BS and his reasoning and his thought, I think worked quite well here, because they just, like I said, weren't willing to accept that, you know, Frenchie talkness.
Yeah, and this is a funny conversation, because, like, when he's questioning Alyssa again about the saying that whether she or not she was in alliance, she's like, no, I talked about my team. And, like, Christian's like, oh, is this what happened? You misunderstood what she said about her team and thought she was talking about an alliance, and that meant that she was lying to you. And Frenchie's like, well, not really. That's not really what. Frenchie's like, well, what? Well, yeah. Well, basically, when she said she was in an alliance, but not an alliance, I was like, I was thinking, like, okay, then yes. And Alyssa's like, no, I didn't say alliance. That's not what I said. And like they keep. Oh, okay. Well, this is what you thought. And then Frenchie's like, trying to make that work for them. Like, yeah, that is what I. But it makes no sense, because there is no sense to be made from it. There is no, oh, this is why moment, because that doesn't exist in Frenchie's world. There is no actual structure to any of this.
Yeah, this is very much how I interpreted Frenchie's behavior, or if I were in the house, how I would try to interpret Frenchie's behavior, which is essentially, you have people who are trying to, okay, like, when someone acts irrationally, you're like, okay, why did they do that? Like, there has to be a reason, right? There's got to be some logic, even if the logic is misconstrued or was a wrong assumption. There's got to be some logic behind it. And that's kind of what they're going for. And, you know, eventually Alyssa by the end is like, well, now it made sense. Once he explained it, it made sense. And later on, even without Frenchie in the room, she says, yeah, well, it made sense. It made sense. But it doesn't make sense. It's just what they are then assuming Frenchie assumes. doomed is like, this, it just doesn't make sense. This is when you have like alternate realities trying to come together.
I think there's like an innate desire in us to try to make sense of the people who have power over us, right?
Yes.
And so that's why Frenchie being the first HOH, the first person that holds power in the game is so chaotic, because he is the kind of player who, if he was not HOH right now, he would be the wow. He's doing so much. He has lost his mind. He is the first boot. Like, he would be completely on the outs. But instead, he has a bunch of like rational people trying to rationalize their own existence in his world. And it's ridiculous.
100%, 100%, because they have to imagine that there's got to be some reason for it, right? Because otherwise it doesn't make any sense. And you want to live in a world where at least you think that things make sense, whatever way you have to try to go about that. And that's part of the reason why there's just so much chaos.
Yeah. So this is going on. In the meantime, Kylan has gone down and started crying to Derek F, Tiffany, and Azza. Tiffany is comforting him, saying, "Don't worry. You automatically have 5 votes locked in with the cookout. You have your team, like the rest of your team, that you can get votes. You are safe no matter what. You do not have to worry." Hannah comes in as well, and they lock her in. They're like, "Hannah, like, you're good with what we've got going on." And Hannah's like, "Absolutely. Like, before we even came into this game, it's an unspoken thing. Like, we know the deal. We don't even need to talk about it." And Tiffany's like, "Great. Get out of here then. Like, we don't even need to talk about it." And so like, this is the cookout, and they do like the strength of this alliance is how, solid they are without the like sort of like paranoia of who's with who. It's a very simple structure here. They're together and they can go out and do their own thing, but at the end of the day, there's something bigger than the game that they've talked about they are sticking together for. And and that's going to be it's going to be especially powerful in a house where the rest of the cast is just losing their minds.
Right. When chaos reigns supreme, just some semblance of stability really stands out. And I think for them, it came together. It was only them. We're not adding a bunch of other random people. We're not discussing who we need to bring. It somehow they all came together. Like you said, there's something outside of the game that they want to stick together. They want to fight for. And I think that that's really powerful. And so that's why when I think about alliances within the house, they're the number one alliance that comes to mind, because I think they actually have longevity.
Mm-hmm. Sarah Beth is going to come in and grab Kylan. She's going to talk to him. She has really she is clearly a very loyal person. Like, she has chosen her person. That person is Kylan. And she is going to comfort him as well. She says, from what I've been able to gather so far, you are the pawn. You should be good. All of those things. And he actually lets her know that Derek F was apparently the one that told Frenchie that Alyssa and Christian were working together. And she says, "Oh my God, I knew something was up there with Derek F." And he realizes "Oh crap, what did I just, that's not what I was saying." She's like, "Wait, so you're not saying that Derek F is the one that said that?" And he's like, "No. So Kylan has explained over the course of the day that he has, and it's difficult to know exactly what he's talking about because the feeds keep cutting when he talks about it, but some kind of attention issue where he finds it very difficult to relay information and to speak without essentially like interrupting himself, having to pause and gather thoughts, and so he's often going off on like tangents and pausing. And he explains to Travis later on, I think, that it's helpful for him that when he does pause, that other people don't fill the silence of that pause, because he's just trying to continue his thought, and stuff like that. So he's trying to explain this stuff to the people in the house. But it definitely leads towards very disjointed storytelling and information that comes out in confusing ways. And so, like, Sarah Beth is, you know, trying to get this Derek F story out of him. It takes like a few different tries because he keeps getting sidetracked, which I think is also, because he's trying to figure out how to describe it without throwing Derek F under the bus. But it's something to keep note of here for Kyland. Because I think it especially seems to occur when he is feeling stressed, for instance, when he's just blindsided and put on the block.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, like you said, it was really difficult because feeds kept cutting, but like, he's neurodivergent in some way, and that impacts his communication style. And so the fact that he felt comfortable to open up to the other house guests about it, like, major props to him. I think that's going to help, because if he can explain, look, this is my communication style, if you can try to have patience with me, I would really appreciate that. I promise that I will get across, you know, the story eventually. And I think that's really good for him, because then the house guests at least have an idea of a little bit of the backstory of, you know, what he's going through as he tries to communicate the story.
Mm-hmm. Back upstairs, Frenchie is still talking to Alyssa and Christian, but by now Brittany, Derek F, and Brent have been sort of added to the conversation, and they continue to try to clear things up. Brittany is there because she was one of the sources of information. Derek was one of the sources of information, but they're both trying to kind of pretend that they weren't sources of information, because they weren't really. They were sources of some information, or they sort of like rebounded what Frenchie was giving to them at times, but in different ways. Brent is still there, also feeling like he was part of this whole thing. And they're just trying to clear things up. Like, where did this come from? What's happening? And Frenchie has been trying so many different avenues. He finally finds one that sticks, especially because Brent is there. Oh, it's Derek X's fault. Did Derek X talk to you? Well, no, but he was probably the one that put this out there. It's probably him that talked about Christian and Alyssa. It's probably him, you know, he's in that alliance with Kylan and Travis. And you know, he already admitted to going around. He's been doing so much. He already knows that he's been doing so much. And now he's trying to get this, and he tricked me into doing this. And it's just all Derek X's fault. And I'm sitting here, watching him do this, and it's bringing me back again to Frenchie. He hated season 21 so much it frustrated me so much watching season 21. Despite this, he continues to bring up Annalise in a spot where she shouldn't. And he's doing his own reenactment of Undeniable here, as he just completely uses Derek X as a scapegoat for every conceivable thing that has gone wrong. And here's the thing about the Undeniable situation. Nicole was actually a bit guilty of some of the things that they were talking about. They just went over the top with it. Derek X is like 99.7% clean of everything that he is being accused of. I want to make this clear, because I have seen some people online be like, I don't know if I've been gaslit by Frenchie and Brent as well, but I don't know. Did Derek X do any of this stuff? And it's confusing, because Derek X has, again, admitted to the things that he did and is talking about like how he screwed himself and he's really down on himself. But he didn't. Derek X has done none of it.
I was like, Puya, you did the morning update yesterday. What did Derek X do? No, he did think. Yeah, but what did he do? Well, he confessed to the thing. But what exactly did he do? And because when I've seen Derek X on feeds, I've seen him lounging around, playing pool, just chilling. I'm like, the man who was a recruit who doesn't seem to really understand the game, because he was asking Travis a bunch of questions about the veto. And I'm just like, what? I don't know how this whole thing happened. It really is just, again, very confusing to me.
Yes. And so Frenchie's getting everyone riled up about Derek X is the cause of all of this. It's Derek X's fault that Kylan and Alyssa are on the block. And so Derek X is the one that needs to go. We're going to backdoor Derek X. We're going to solve that. We're going to get rid of the problem.
Yeah. See, that's the thing, though. I think I saw this comment on Reddit somewhere. It was like, Derek X, no strategy, just vibes. And I just feel like that's where he's coming from. And so then when the all of a sudden the target then shifts again to, I guess, another big fish of Derek X, of like, this is the root of all our problems. Like you said, if we get him out, everything will be perfect.
Yeah. And I don't remember exactly who it was, but there were people in the conversation that were like, well, should we go talk to Derek X about this? Should we ask him about any of this? And Frenchie was like, well, he's just going to lie about it.
Yeah, we don't want this getting out. Right. And that's another Frenchie thing of like, don't talk about it with anybody, like what we talked about here, because it's just going to freak people out and they're just going to lie and it's not going to make sense. Like, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's definitely Derek X's fault.
Mm-hmm. So that's happening. Everything's cleared up now. It's Derek X's fault. Derek X is the target. And that's the new plan moving forward. The rest of the day until nighttime is a little bit muddy, where things aren't as shifty, because it's again, like when you, like Big Brother is a game about communication. And when you stop the line of communication, things get a little more stagnant, right? And so Frenchie has said, don't go to Derek X. And Derek X is way too passive, in part because he feels like he was way too... See, in Derek X's mind, he spent the first night talking too much to too many people. Mm-hmm. And he was doing too much. And that's what everyone's telling him. And meanwhile, they're doing 10 times as much. But he thinks like, oh, I did way too much. And he's getting advice from even Tiffany, who's like, just lay low. Don't do anything. You know, you've done too much. Like, because she thinks that he did too much too. Everybody thinks, including him, that he did too much, when in reality, he did almost nothing and is now continuing to do too little. But he's just kind of sitting there like thinking like, I did way too much. I need to just chill. And so he's not proactively going out and trying to clear anything up. He's just proactively admitting to the things that he did, which is furthering others' beliefs that he is still at fault for the things that he has now been accused of that he doesn't even know about. And so without that communication, the target is staying on Derek X, and nothing is changing too much for most of the rest of the day. And we're going to get things like Christian and Frenchie talking more. Christian is really, really playing more actively, and trying to make sure that he is good with Frenchie. They talk about the butchers again. Remember, the butchers was a concept that Frenchie came up with that he proposed to about 13 people, but never actually formed an official one except for the one that he made with Christian, Derek F, Kylan, and Brent. And so that one is the one that Christian is talking about. And what's funny is Christian brings up the butchers. He's like, well, we should get the butchers back together. We should go back to that plan that we were going to do. And Frenchie has to go, right. Who's in that again? Who's in that one again?
And then it was like, but who's in the butchers and who's in the slaughterhouse? And just confusion from the man who theoretically started the alliance. I could not believe.
Yeah. So they're talking about who should be in there. Christian thinks Alyssa should be included, and he's going to push hard for this. You know, you put her on the block, you should make up for it. Mm-hmm. You should bring her into the slaughterhouse. The slaughterhouse being the outer sort of portion of the butcher alliance. So there's also a lot of talk/drama about who should be chosen to play in the veto. I'm not going to get too in the weeds about this because they're picking right now and it probably won't even matter. And mm-hmm. It's just a lot to do about nothing. But Kylan was really struggling to decide whether he should pick Travis to play in the veto for him, because Travis is on his team. And he felt like if he didn't pick Travis, then that would be drawing a line in the sand, showing Travis that he's not with him and that Travis may then come for him later. But Travis is like the one person who wouldn't use the veto on either Alyssa or Kylan, because he wouldn't want Derek X to go up on the block. And so Brent and the others are trying to convince Kylan, no, you shouldn't choose Travis because we don't want somebody competing that wouldn't use the veto. But he's feeling very anxious about it. So that is going to take up hours of conversation time.
Right. And I mean, like I said, it only matters if he gets house guest choice. Right.
Yes.
That's the one situation in where this matters. But there was a lot of mental energy dedicated to that conversation.
Yes. We're also going to get a bit from Derek X is going to talk to Brent. And again, Brent is very much just like this, like, you have wronged me. And this is frustrating because, like, you see this behavior a lot. And Brent, I think, is just an exaggerated version of it where, you know, Derek X, he admitted to his wrongdoings, which weren't even really wrongdoings. But now, because he did anything wrong and admitted to it, mm-hmm. Brent now feels like he has the right to treat Derek X like he is lesser, essentially. Like, you have done wrong. I am a paragon of virtue, and now you must grovel at my feet to make up for your wrongdoings. And what Brent is doing, in my opinion, is much more wrong than anything Derek X has done or would have done, even if he had done the thing that Brent thinks that he did.
Because what he did wasn't bad, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we're just talking about forming potentially an alliance, which is something that everyone does on Big Brother. There's no sort of putting anybody down. We're not, you know, necessarily excluding anybody. It's just, we're trying to maybe one day, possibly, if you feel like it, create this alliance. And poor Derek X doesn't know any better. And he's just sitting there taking it. And then he's like, well, trying to maybe come up with some strategy of like, well, maybe I should throw Travis under the bus, like, to Frenchie, but it's simply out of self-preservation. And no, you shouldn't do that. You've already done too much. How dare you try to play this game and come up with your own strategy? Get back where you belong. Mm-hmm. It's awful.
We're going to get a bit from Xavier as well. We're going to learn that he actually recently lost his brother before coming on to the show. He's sort of going to get a little bit emotional about that. We're also going to see from him that he did something that I really liked, which is that Xavier is lying about his occupation. Mm-hmm. He's pretending to be a bartender. And what he told us he was going to do was pretend to be a bartender that also models. But what he's done is he opened up with bartender. He has not told anybody that he does modeling. So he essentially has created a secret fake occupation that he is now being able to open up to people to reveal his secret that he is actually also a model. Mm-hmm. And that he doesn't like to talk about it because it's a certain way, it's a certain thing, but he does do some modeling, and that is his secret. And nobody would ever possibly think that there is a secret occupation beyond the modeling one that he then revealed. And it gives him something to reveal to people that he feels comfortable enough opening up to. Really like this one from Xavier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so first of all, my heart goes out to Xavier. Like, when he was really emotional and then opens up to Derek F about it later, it was like my heart broke for him. And that's just something tough that he's honestly doing a really great job with coping with. I mean, you know, being in the house. And then on top of that, to have the foresight of planting this sort of fake occupation. I mean, I feel better and better about him in the game. I'm so excited for when he's like, I model boat hats, because he's been constantly changing boat hats throughout the course of the day. And so sometimes it gets confusing because I don't know who is like wearing the boat hats. Like, oh, it's just X. But yeah, of course, no one's going to question that when he reveals his, you know, second fake occupation.
Yeah. Xavier is also going to have a conversation with Kylan. He talks through how Kylan should be good, but he does want Kylan to come off the block. Even though he does also want to keep Alyssa around, he's also going to talk with Alyssa and kind of comfort her. Alyssa's on his team. Alyssa's somebody that he feels comfortable with and wants to keep in the game. But he also wants Kylan in the game, and he feels more comfortable with Kylan off the block because Kylan is seemingly a bigger threat than Alyssa. And so even though people are saying Kylan should be good, he'd rather Kylan be off the block. And they also talk about how the cookout is first priority. It's bigger than the game. Like that is what they are loyal to. Kylan agrees. And so, you know, they're, I'm reasonably certain that this is genuine from them. Regarding the cookout, we also heard from Derek F about the cookout. Now, if there's, okay. I think that the cookout is the strongest thing going in the house right now. There are two things that I'm concerned about. Two potential pain points for the cookout. One is the way that they're handling Hannah. That they kind of feel like we have Hannah. She's going to work for us, but we don't need to really tell her much. I think that's fine for now, but it doesn't tend to work very well long term. I think that there's not really a reason they should be doing that. I think Hannah would be perfectly willing and capable of joining up with them officially and knowing the name, and she would be a great asset to them, and she really should be involved fully. The more they try to, you know, play around with this, I think the worse this could possibly get. The second potential pain point is, I think, Derek F., who is a little bit antsy and already talking about how, you know, Kylan should be the person that we vote out in fifth place. He's not real cookout. He's only extra cookout. And he tends to talk a little bit. So those are the two things I think that they should be a little bit wary of.
Well, and on the first pain point, Hannah is a smart player. She's a super fan. She knows the game. I think she's going to be able to put together the pieces of this semi ostracizing behavior that the cookout is putting on, because it's almost like, because she's halfway in, halfway out, that's almost the bigger problem. That if she was just excluded and had no idea, or was completely in the alliance to begin with. So yeah, I think that middling behavior is just not going to fly. Derek F. fascinates me as a player. Like, we're going to talk about it later, but he just he has a tendency to jump the gun a little bit when it comes to thinking ahead, but he says it. Like, there's no reason that you can't think it, but you probably shouldn't say that out loud. And especially, like we said, we're 72 hours into this game and he's already willing to throw out so much. He's doing so much. He also, in the way that he talks to people, and I don't know if other people are put off by this, but sometimes he has a tendency to just make things about him. And so he will dominate conversations and bring things back to him. And I could see that eventually be grating on some of the house guests. So he's one to watch for me. I'm just interested to see what ends up happening with him.
Mm-hmm. So there's stuff going on there. Things really start to heat up again, though, a bit later in the night when Christian is going to continue to push. And I really like what Christian does here, because he is going to try to take the reins on Frenchie and lead him in a direction that benefits Christian, right? Mm-hmm. So he's been pushing Frenchie to get back on the butcher train, back on the slaughterhouse train, but the one that benefits Christian the most. And that's great for Christian. At least in this moment, he is, you know, pushing him in the right direction, letting Frenchie do all the work. So he's pushing for this butcher thing. And so Frenchie is like, okay, let's make it happen then. Let's go grab him. And Christian's like, oh wow, I think I pushed a little too hard. Christian's like, well, I don't think you should go like do this and grab people without like consulting with the other members of the butchers first, right? Like, I think that's what gets things a little weird. That's what makes things like, we shouldn't just go grab people now and then like surprise people with things. And Frenchie's like, yeah. And he gets up and he starts walking toward the door and he's like, but I mean, you heard what I was saying, right? Like, we shouldn't just like go. And he's like, yeah, exactly. Well, I'm just going to go grab some butchers. And he's like, okay, so we'll get the butchers together and we'll discuss. First person, Frenchie goes and talks to is Whitney, not in the butchers.
Nope.
He goes to Whitney and he says, if there was a power alliance forming, would you want to be part of it? She goes, what? I said, if there was a power alliance forming, would you want to be part of it? She's like, are you in it? Or is that what you're, yes. Well, then of course. I want to be in whatever you're in, Frenchie. I trust you. And she's like, well, who's in, but can you tell me who's in this alliance? And he's like, you'll see. And she's like, well, but can you tell me? And then Christian comes down and Christian sees Frenchie talking to Whitney and he's like, oh. And so he's trying to kind of like interrupt this conversation. They go into the bathroom, to talk. And then Christian follows them in. And she's pretending like she needs to go to the bathroom. But Christian comes in, and she had already not gone to the bathroom. And so he was like, are you using that? And she's like, well, no, you can go in. So he goes to pretend to go in and they leave because they're like, okay, it's not clear in here anymore. But Christian doesn't actually go into the bathroom. And then he stands at the sink, kind of watching, and then they leave, and then he kind of comes back out again, and they just kind of stand there awkwardly, and then Frenchie's like, can you wait for me up there? And he told Kylan that, and he's like, where's Kai? And he's like, oh, he's up there. And so he goes up, and then he starts talking to Whitney again, and she's like, oh, okay. Can you tell me who's in this power alliance that you're talking about? He's like, all the people you like and trust. She's like, oh, really? He's like, yeah. But can you tell me like who they are? He's like, no, I want it to be a surprise. I want you to walk in and see all the faces and be surprised and happy. She's like, okay, thank you so much, Frenchie.
This was so poorly done. Not only did Frenchie immediately disregard Christian's suggestion, Christian has to try to go babysit Frenchie, pull Frenchie away. And Frenchie is having this conversation with Whitney, starts the conversation in like the middle of the kitchen. And then after they get shooed out of the bathroom, they're having the conversation standing by the dining room table. You know when two people are kind of like facing opposite each other, but they're standing directly next to each other and they're trying to have a conversation to make it seem like they're just standing there, but they're actually like whispering to each other, but they're right by the table and the mirrors. And it was super awkward. And if anybody else was in the kitchen, like you immediately see what's going on. And then they're trying to like round up everybody else. And Whitney knows that there's a conversation going on in the HOH room, but obviously she can't go up there yet because she's not part of the Butchers. But Frenchie has told her that she's part of this super alliance. And yes.
Yeah, and I forgot to mention that in order to have the conversation where Christian was saying you shouldn't just bring people in, they were talking. Frenchie kicked Alyssa out of the room right before then. He's like, can you just go out? We'll call you right back in. And he's like, And they were like, should I bring her in? And Christian's like, well, we should wait for just, I want her in, but we should wait. So they come back in and Alyssa's back in there. Frenchie's like, Whitney, you wait. And he comes back in and it's, I think like Brent and Christian and Kylan. And he's like, Alyssa, can you just leave for a second again? We'll call you right back in. She's like, okay. So she leaves again. And so then they start talking about the Butchers, and Derek F eventually comes in. Okay, here are the Butchers. Who are we bringing in? I was thinking Whitney. Brent is kind of like, I don't feel, one way or another about Whitney. And Kylan's kind of like, I don't really actually feel great about Whitney. I'd actually would prefer no to the Whitney thing. Frenchie's sitting there like, well, too late.
Yeah, well, that, and like, remember, Derek F, for some reason, really wants Whitney out. Even earlier that day, he was like, yeah, well, or like, we could do like Whitney next week. And then when he's talking about how he would be HOH, he's like, well, if a man goes this week, then I would want to put up a woman next week, like heavily implying that it's Whitney. And then meanwhile, Frenchie has already talked to Whitney about being in the alliance, suggested her, and then just sort of forced her upon the alliance as part of the Slaughterhouse.
Yeah. They eventually bring in, then they're like, okay, so we're bringing in Whitney, we're bringing Alyssa, how are we going to do this? Cause if we just bring them in right now and we're like, hey, you're a part of this now, then they're going to know that we were already together. That's not like, they're going to know where they are in the pecking order. So we should maybe some of us should leave first and maybe we do this a little bit later. Like the suggestions just go straight over Frenchie's head. Constantly and eventually it just all comes together and they okay, we're the Slaughterhouse.
Eventually, Kylan and Christian are like, we're going to remove ourselves now. Like, we don't want to be a part of this. I mean, the women, come on, they already know. Like, Alyssa was sequestered outside in the lounge across the hall. Whitney was already told that she was a part of it, but then not allowed to be part of that initial conversation. Like, Derek is maybe the only one who doesn't know that he's not part of the slaughterhouse. But so eventually, yeah, like you said, they get everybody together and then they're chop chop, the slaughterhouse, very chop chop. Hand gestures being put out there in the universe for this this alliance.
Yep. Now, you know, the way Big Brother works, alliances are very powerful, right? So even if it's a complete train wreck, it could end up being something, at least for a little bit. But it could also end up being nothing. So but this is one of the few things that has been somewhat solidified, which is very important to have any kind of solidification, more than just, hey, we should have a parent alliance, or hey, we should have a this, we should have a that. The fact that they have been like, this is the thing, is good. Even though everybody also knows about the slaughterhouse and everybody also knows about the butchers, and all of those things, you know, this is probably going to have some kind of influence over the game in the next couple of weeks.
They talked about the A word, the alliance. So it does feel much more real than the previous slaughterhouse butcher conversations that we've had over the past 48 hours, 24 hours. The other thing to keep in mind is we've seen alliances that we thought were going to fall apart that stayed together based on who won HOH. Mm-hmm. So going into next week, if we see, you know, one member of the alliance win HOH and everybody rest in the alliance, like, yeah, so remember, slaughterhouse, baby, chop, chop, let's do this, let's stay together. And then slowly but surely, it can be built into a real alliance. So even though it seems to me at the moment just so fragile, and like it's immediately going to fall apart, especially the fact that Derek F is in there being like, hey, so when we fall apart, can you like tell me that we're no longer in an alliance?
Yeah. He's like, hey, if things go wrong, here's how I think we should operate. First of all, Derek F was like, we should never be in a room together. We should just, if we have a plan, then this person will tell this person and this person will tell this person. And then if for some reason it's not going to work out, we detonate. We tell each other, we be upfront about it, and no backstabbing.
Oh my god, like the bomb squad analogies are already there, like the comparisons are already there. We're gonna say that we're gonna detonate the alliance when we're gonna destroy it. Oh my gosh, that was so funny. It was like signing a prenup for an alliance.
Exactly, like just okay, well, according to the detonate clause in the alliance, I am forced to confide to you that yes, the alliance will be detonated from this point forward, just so you know.
I have the nuclear codes. I am officially enacting detonate clause 2.1.7 as part of the slaughterhouse. Oh my gosh, it was so funny.
Oh boy. So people are going to funnel out. It eventually becomes Brent, Whitney, and Frenchie. And this was a frustrating conversation to listen to because Frenchie is just constantly interrupting Whitney and talking over her. There was a moment where him and Brent were just like she was trying to say something for like a good 30 seconds and they just kept going. She's like, excuse me. And she had to point out multiple times, like, can I just speak? Like, she was doing it in a way that wasn't like, she was trying
joking.
To be, yeah, she was trying to be like friendly about it, but like,
you could tell she was like, can I say something? Am I allowed to speak in this conversation? Because yeah, boys just kept going back and forth. I felt for her in that moment.
But they discussed that Derek X will be going home this week. They think, but we need to set up next week. We should think about who we're going after next week. It's probably going to be Travis, right? He's a big threat. He's very smart. And Derek says, well, why do we even have to wait? What if we change things up and we get Travis out this week instead of Derek? I mean, Derek's already on the outs. We already know that Derek's going to go home next week. So if we took the shot at Travis right now, that would be great. Frenchie says, problem. I already promised Travis that he would be safe, so I couldn't possibly do that to that big fish. I mean, wait, he's not the big, wait, what?
Huh? He promised. Taryn, okay, he made a promise and he doesn't go back on his word.
He's a man of his word. He would never go back on a promise to a white man, at least.
So, awkward.
Notably, he's made promises to the women, the people of color, specifically to Derek X, to Alyssa. He's promised many people, but unfortunately, this one he's gonna have to keep.
I mean, honor and integrity. It's really just his jam. Very, very awkward. One thing that the chat was pointing out that I think we should mention is Hannah coming by when the whole butcher slaughterhouse conversation was happening, and Frenchie intercepts her, right? I think outside when in the hallway, and then has this incredibly awkward conversation with her.
So bad.
It was so bad. He stops her and he's like, "Hey, so you would use the veto if you want it, right?" Right? And she's like, "Yeah, I told you in the storage room, anything that you want, I'll do." He's like, there's a guy in there pointing to the HOH room. He doesn't want to use the veto, man. Like, I'm trying to talk him into it. It's so awkward.
Yeah. And then she's just like, "I just wanted to say goodnight to you guys."
Yeah. Okay. Like, pops in, sees everybody in there. Okay. Goodnight. That's really awkward.
Oh, man. So Frenchie turns down the Travis changeup, and then Brent's gonna go hang out with Derek X a little more, and honestly, Derek X, he's got a great social game when he's trying, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's actually reminding me a lot of Brian from season 10 with like the sock puppet show and like the "I screwed myself," except Brian actually did screw himself. Mm-hmm. And poor Derek has done nothing, but he's doing the same. He's like, "I'm getting ready to, you know, go on Reddit and read about how worst moves in Big Brother history. Derek X, you know, seals his own fate on day two." And Brent is cracking up because he loves that a person is putting himself down in his presence. And Brent loves it. Brent loves it. And they're bonding. Mm-hmm. And I think it's increasing the desire here for Brent to want to keep Derek X around and get rid of Travis. And he really is starting to create the narrative in his own mind that it wasn't really Derek's fault, mm-hmm, that he turned on me. It's that Travis convinced him. Travis pulled him away. And if somebody has that kind of power, that's the real threat. And so he's going to go back to Frenchie late in the night after everyone's gone to bed. They're going to have a long conversation. This conversation is going to start with the fact that even though they're in the butchers together, he still doesn't trust Christian. Christian is not, he's not cool with Christian. But he does kind of like Alyssa. Frenchie says again that Alyssa reminds him of Sis from season 21, and talks about how if Christian does something that kind of reflects on Alyssa, so she's going to have to distance herself from her, or from him. Sorry, I'm distracted because the feeds just came back from the veto draw, and apparently Frenchie said, "Oh my God, worst possible scenario.
But that could mean anything, honestly, Taryn. That could mean anything. I assume the fish were drawn to play. I don't know. So, this conversation with Frenchie, with Brent really trying to push the whole, like, Travis narrative, first of all, and then, like, bringing up that him and Christian have problems. This is another reason why this butcher house, slaughterhouse alliance is just already built on shaky foundation with players not trusting each other. Derek F doesn't like Whitney. Like, there's just so much here that is a mess, and just kind of continues to kind of bubble to the surface, which I think is why Christian wanted to make sure that we're all on the same page before you bring people in. And Frenchie just went ahead and went rogue, and did his own thing. So who knows, honestly, especially now with Vito being played, like, what ultimately the target is gonna shift to, because Lord knows it'll shift again. But we'll just have to see.
Yeah, it sounds like Travis and Derek X are both playing.
Okay, so yeah, worst possible scenario for Frenchie. I see it now.
Oh boy. It's exciting in the sense that it messes up Frenchie's plan, but also, like, I don't want Alyssa to go. All right, we'll see where this goes. So this conversation continues. They say they're getting a little frustrated with Derek F's negativity, but they still both love him. And Brent is going to advocate again that Travis should be the one to go before Derek. And Frenchie says again, I can't break my word to Travis. But Brent says, well, we can still make the move and make it not look like you've broken your word. Like, this is the smart play. This is the big play. And he's going to spend a lot of time over the course of, you know, an hour or so, just kind of talking Frenchie into this. And so Frenchie is starting to come around. He's like, okay, well, let's hit the slaughterhouse one-on-one and get a sense of if they'd be down for a move like this. I do think it makes sense to go after Travis. He just doesn't want to have a reputation for breaking his word, especially after he's already broken his word to all of the women. And so they also are going to solidify a final two. And Frenchie is going to say that he feels like the biggest threats in the game, the two biggest threats in the game are Christian and Xavier. And Brent says, well, but Xavier is cool. He's with us. And Frenchie's like, well, yeah, but if we're sitting next to him in the end, we're not winning. So he's got his eye on Xavier a little bit. But so the bottom line here is Brent puts in a lot of work to try and get Travis backdoored instead of Derek X. Frenchie is still resistant. He has not confirmed that he is down to change his mind, but it does seem like he has been convinced that it's a good move. It's something that he should be doing. He just needs to sort of figure out if he can. That's a late night decision. I don't know how he will feel about it now in the daylight. There's definitely a lot of possibility that Travis could go up instead of Derek X. And now that we know that Derek X and Travis are both playing, there's still a lot of potential for Alyssa to be in danger, or even Kyland, I think, to a degree as well, because there are a lot of people that would like to keep Alyssa around. But I think Kyland, with the cookouts support, should be able to stay. But oh boy, is there a lot of different directions this week to go from here.
If the past 72 hours were any indication, things are incredibly fluid. It highly depends on timing of when things happen. If the veto meeting happens, you know, 2 hours before expected, who knows what the result could end up being. Also, I'm seeing in the chat that Kylan pick Travis? So I think he did end up going through with, oh, well, Travis is on my team, so I need to pick him, logic.
And he's asking Travis to use it. Travis is telling him he'll use it. But we'll see if that actually goes through. Oof. We could see a scenario where Travis wins and then the whole plan now is to convince Travis to use it, and that, don't worry, Derek X won't go up on the block, and then maybe Derek X does go up on the block. Or maybe they convince him to use it and they decide, okay, well, he's going to use it, and now we're not going to put Derek X on the block, we'll put somebody else on the block. Like who knows?
Yes, very much that. It could be anybody. Oof. Okay.
That's about what we have for you. Yeah. As I said, a lot of different ways this can go. The veto should happen today. We should know a little bit more about the options available to us once we know the results of the veto. But I expect that no matter what happens with the veto, there will still be a few different ways that it can play out, depending on what Frenchie does, depending on what Brent is trying to convince Frenchie to do, and all of that. So,
stay tuned.
That's what we have for you. I will, of course, be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother 23 live feeds. I was live with Rob yesterday in the patron group to do a Big Brother Q&A and take calls from the patrons of Rob as a Podcast. I believe that podcast has become unlocked. So if you would like to go back and listen to that, we actually had to delay it an hour because the feeds had just come back from the nominations. So we were just reeling from those when we were answering those questions. So you can check that out. And then, of course, tomorrow night, there will be an episode recap of the Sunday night episode, where we will finally get to hear from some of these players in the diary room and maybe get a little bit of what happened in those couple of hours that we missed with all the introductions. Lots of fun stuff heading your way. You can, of course, also find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, when I'm able to go live there, and on Twitter @ArmstrongTaryn. Liana, what are you up to?
I'm podcasting about RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars Season 6. So if you are keeping up with that at the same time, trying to keep up with all this Big Brother mess, check out Amon, Beth, and I doing the podcast over on Reality TV Rehap Ups. And you can find me on Twitter at Liana RHAP.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us here today. We are consistently hitting an hour and a half for these updates so far. I'm sure eventually that will get pared down a bit, but I appreciate you guys hanging out, and I will see all of you next time.